You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. That is the voice of Cecilia Violeta Lopez. She is a celebrated soprano, also named one of the opera's 25 rising stars by Opera News. She's also an Idaho native, and she will be in the lead role as Manon as she returns to Opera Idaho for this two-night performance. Joining her in this production is Grammy Award-winning tenor Thomas Glenn. They are live in studio with us. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks.
So let's talk about the opera itself. Thomas, I'm going to start with you because I know I just butchered the name of it. So give us a synopsis of what this opera is about.
A brief synopsis. Two people fall in love and they have the idea to go live in Paris by themselves in a little cottage.
Well, that's a fabulous idea.
Yeah, it is. But then there are complications with status, I think. The protagonist, the dude's father, doesn't approve of the marriage. They're living by themselves without being married, and he does everything he can to break them apart. And Manon herself gets whisked off to jail, and ends up dying.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh shoot!
No,
I gave away the ending.
Oh, and Cecilia. So you're coming back home.
I am.
What is it like to perform at home?
Oh, it's definitely like, you know, I don't know if this happened to anyone else, but when you're a kid and you perform singing a random song with an imaginary microphone in the living room, that's kind of what it feels like here. It's like I feel like I'm at home in the living room being surrounded by friends and singing this like vast amount of operatic repertoire that's available to us, and it's fun to be able to learn about the art form and at the same time share it with, you know, family and friends that have been supporting me ever since I started this. So
and both of you have performed, I mean Thomas, your career has taken you to numerous places, so what makes you decide, you know, to come to little old Idaho and perform?
Part of it is the opportunity to perform new and different literature. Most of my work has sort of been modern works or new works. I'm sort of that guy that's like, oh, he can read music really well. So let's have him do like new stuff. But this is, you know, this is 19th century, and it's more dramatic than I've ever sung before. So I took the opportunity and I find this place to be very beautiful and exciting, and I love the people, and so why not?
Why not, right?
Absolutely.
So I have to wrap things up, but we are going to continue our conversation in our podcast with the two of you. But very quickly for our listeners live right now, the two-night performances are this Friday and Saturday, correct?
Friday and Sunday.
Mm. We are continuing our conversation with Cecilia Violeta Lopez. She is a celebrated soprano, also an Idaho native, as well as Grammy Award-winning tenor Thomas Glenn. They are in Boise for two upcoming performances of Opera Idaho. And Thomas, I'm going to let you say the name again because I do not want to butcher it.
Yeah, it's okay. So French has like 14 different vowels as opposed to, you know, 7 or 8 names.
Exactly.
Right. So you get the chance to color so much in French, right? So you have to have the on of Manon. that sort of nasal, and you know, we can stereotype all we want, but that's the way that it's pronounced, Manon.
Manon. Well, you know,
you do it very well.
Well, it's funny. I'm French. You would think
right,
I could say it.
Ancestry.
So I do. It's coming through. Well, it was funny. Speaking of that nasally sound, the first time I went to France, so my husband had been before, and he said, so I want to tell you something. You know how like how you say yes, and it's we. Oui. Yeah. They don't say that. And I was like, what? It's so beautiful. And he goes, they say way.
Well, that's the difference between saying
yes and yeah.
And yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, we and way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, way. And it was hilarious.
Yeah.
Right. So Manon.
Yes. Very
yes.
Good.
Okay. Good. Cecilia, I want to talk to you about your life in Idaho and growing up here. So you grew up in Rupert, right?
I did.
And you started singing at a really young age, but it was mariachi.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I grew up singing mariachi.
Right. Isn't that amazing?
That's awesome.
Isn't that so music? Cool?
There are great singers that have come up from mariachi.
Well, here's the thing, though. So it wasn't really like I didn't have a mariachi band because a lot of people, when I say that, they picture
Oh, they think you've got the whole outfit
the whole
and that whole thing.
Behind me just playing. Like, no, that's not how it was. So what
That's
happened,
what I would want it to be.
I mean, duh. But I actually grew up learning all the mariachi songs that my mom grew up listening to because she taught me those songs while we were out hoeing beets in the summers.
Oh, wow.
And so that, my mom to me is like my first, really, now that I think about it, she was my first music teacher and she taught me everything that she knows all by rote. And then with harmonies too, she would say, okay, now you sing the melody and then listen to what mom's going to do. And she would sing the third above and just blow my mind,
that's
right?
Wonderful.
And we're out hoeing beets and out in the summer heat. It was the worst. But, and I tell the story all the time to kids. I was just at the Performing Arts Academy in Eagle and telling them, mom was like a magician during, because we were out there for hours and hours and hours. But every time she would take the time to teach me a song, and it was my older brother too, but I felt like I was the one that absorbed all of that music. I just felt like the hours went by so quickly.
Right.
And
that's why she did it.
Right? Yep. So she could stop complaining
exactly.
about being out there. No, but it was her. It was mom was the one that it was really instilled in me the love of music. But it started with a mariachi music that she grew up singing. And I went all through my adolescence, my teenage years, being the little celebrity of Rupert, Idaho, singing at rodeos and quinceañeras and weddings, sometimes with just a regular track with having the chun 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 chun, and I knew them all. And then, but whenever a live mariachi band would be in town, mom would be the one going, andale, corre, corre, go. I'll talk to them and let them and have them let you sing. And she's been my number one fan, and even now, being an opera singer, it's something that I was never exposed to as a kid. And so kind of adding to what I said earlier, it's just this huge amount of operatic repertoire that's available to us. It's a learning experience every time I do a new role. Mm. And it's also very cute and very endearing to see my parents just involved with
me 100%
of the way, because they're like, well, do you die in this one? And what happens? And are you singing in French? Or is it,
Is your tenor handsome?
Yeah. Because if he's not. So how did you go from, here you are growing up with mariachi music to becoming this incredible opera singer? I mean, did you want to go into opera?
No, I think I really feel now that I'm doing this, I feel like opera chose me, because the first opera that I ever went to was a school production of La Boheme at UNLV. I go Rebels. But I went because I thought, okay, all of my classmates are in this production. I'm going to go see what all the hubbub is about. Fine, rolling my eyes. No idea. I had no idea what to expect. I didn't read the synopsis. And I'd never been to a live theater experience. And I remember, he's now my ex-husband, but he's the one that said, well, you should pursue a career in music. Sorry, breaking up a little bit. Career in music, I wanted to be a music teacher. So that seemed like the practical thing to do, because I was a new mom and newly married. But so I go to this opera, school production, and I'm looking over at my ex-husband going, she's going to be okay. Because Mimi, the main character, she's going to be okay. Mm. I'm pretty sure. And it gets to the end, and there's in huge dramatic opera style. Puccini's music is one of my favorites, because his music is so lush and beautiful, and the big swooping lines of you guys, it's just actually Opera Idaho is doing La Boheme this season. So if you guys are out there listening, you should go to La Boheme.
You should go. Oh, at the Morrison Center, no doubt.
Yep.
Okay,
but that was the opera that was like the pivotal moment for me where I said, this is what I want to do. Because the tenor at the end grabs her, Mimi, and she dies peacefully.
And you're like, what?
Yeah, I was so convinced that she was going to be,
she's going to live.
Okay,
right? Yeah.
Does anybody end up living in an opera?
Yes.
But for the right reasons. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So, Thomas, what about you? What made you decide opera?
Oh, goodness. I wanted to be a jazz singer growing up. I wanted to go to Berklee College of Music and be like, I don't know. Mel Torme or
of
Harry
course,
Connick.
Right?
Have my own like band or whatever. And
that is not a bad dream.
No, it wasn't. But I, at a certain point, I got bit by opera. I realized that jazz, you know, you can improvise all you want in a lead sheet, and but opera, there's, you know, 500 or 600 years of literature in 7 different languages, and there's, you know, it's very complex, and I could really get my hands in it and probably make more money than jazz anyway. So at a certain point, I think I was in college when I was cast in a Bach oratorio called the St. Matthew Passion, and the Evangelist. He has 42 recits, and he explains the whole story of, you know, the Passion of Christ, and it was very dramatic for me, and I could tell the story very dramatically, and I said, you know what, I love this a lot. I think I can really get into this, and that was, I think, the impetus for me. Getting hooked.
So what is it? I think sometimes opera can be very intimidating, right? I mean, it seems so incredibly sophisticated and just there's such passion and all of that. I mean, what would you say to someone who's kind of on the fence about maybe going to an opera? It just seems sometimes, do you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. It comes from a European tradition, and, you know, there are certain barriers. There's the language barrier and the music barrier, and it is complex music. It's not top 40 music, you know. It's not a sound bite. You're not listening to a 5-minute song. And, well, where's the beat, man? No,
not Hamilton.
But if you just invest a little bit of attention to it, you know, take 5 minutes, read the synopsis, and realize that it's for everybody. And more than that, opera is designed to elicit empathy and compassion, right? You have this, it's not just music, it's this story. And it's a story that is meant to connect to you as a human being and elicit those feelings. And people who end up going to the opera get hooked because it penetrates so deep in your soul, and people come out crying. The last time I was here, at Opera Idaho, we had just done
Elixir of Love,
and I walked out of the theater and just, you know, sweaty and everything. And I'm walking up the street, and from the oncoming lane comes this big jacked up truck, and it comes into the oncoming lane, parks right at the sidewalk. This guy comes out, tight jeans, belt buckle, bolo tie, white shirt, looks like he'd never been to, like, anything operatic.
You're seeing your life flash before your eyes.
I was like, is he going to hit me? He comes right up to me, tears in his eyes, and he said, I have never been to the opera before, but your performance tonight moved me. I will always come back.
Wow.
And I thought to myself, wow, this is why I do this.
Yeah.
You know, people change, and people can be more feeling and more empathetic in their lives if they just come to the theater.
I love what you say about read the synopsis first, because that reminds me of, you know, the first time I started even going to, like, Shakespeare plays, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like there's a reason why they give you the synopsis, so you can kind of read along.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to understand Old English.
Right. Knowledge is power.
Well, right?
In the end.
Yeah. So similar with opera. I mean, kind of give yourself that grace to maybe, you know, kind of read along and figure it out as you go.
Definitely. I think it's, if anything, arm yourself with the tools that will make the experience that much, you know, more, I guess, more delightful, you know, for you to take away something from the theater. Actually, and piggybacking on what you said, is just that feeling of having to know that someone in the audience is moved. Just that one person is such a feeling of, I don't know, it's gratification, satisfying, something. That's that one thing that keeps us going in this industry, because it's hard. It's really difficult what we do. We spend a lot of time away from our families. We spend a lot of time practicing and learning this music, and then to perform it just a couple times for audiences, you know, it's a lot. So when we have those moments of random strangers saying thank you or coming up to you with tears in their eyes, it really does mean a lot to us.
What's it like for your mom to see you perform?
Oh my gosh. Well, it depends on the show. But like for Nemorino, especially for when we did Elixir of Love, she goes, "Ay, Cecilia, you're so mean to him." Oh. But she's like, she's very invested. She's very invested in the operas that I do. But one in particular, when they saw me first perform, it was Madame Butterfly. I was singing Madame Butterfly at Opera San Jose. And the story of Madame Butterfly is one that my parents could easily relate to, because it's a story of sacrifice, of leaving families behind, a story of love, of unrequited love. And in the end, Madame Butterfly ends up sacrificing her little boy, giving the little boy to her dad, or to his dad. And anyway, long story short, she ends up dying.
Because it's opera.
Because opera. But at the end, my parents met me in my dressing room, and my dad, who never, ever, ever, ever speaks English to me, I was taking off my geisha makeup, and he goes, "Cecilia, I'm so proud of you," in the biggest, thickest Mexican accent with the big rolled R. And that's, to me, was when I thought, they get it. They get what I do. They get that this is my job. And they were there. They were there with me, supporting me and rooting for me. And to know that they were invested in the story is just...
That's great.
Yeah.
Very moving.
So Manon will be this Friday, September
27th.
I have to do math. 27th. September 27th, this Friday, and then Sunday as well.
Yes.
2 o'clock matinee.
2 o'clock matinee. So you can bring your kids as long as...
Oh, yeah.
Bring the kids. That's what we were talking about earlier.
Bring the kids. Expose them to this. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you for having us.
I've been talking with Cecilia Violeta Lopez and Thomas Glenn. They will be performing for Opera Idaho on Friday and Sunday. This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette.